Amen. Thank you. And it is great to see you back tonight on this day of dedication. As I mentioned this morning, we spent our morning worship in dedicating this building as being the sacred place of worship of the one true God by the people known as Trinity Baptist Church. And it seems fitting to me, as we're having a day of dedication, that we would have this evening service and gather around the Lord's table, which is a time of celebrating what He did, but it is always a time of rededicating ourselves, of thinking about what He did for us, and if we were going to be gathered here as a church, He had to do, because we didn't deserve it to be here. We didn't deserve to be called His children or be on our way to heaven. And in this life, we will always battle the flesh, and so sin creeps back into our life, and sometimes we win the battle and keep it out, and sometimes we lose it. But when we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's not the only time, but it is a poignant time when we reflect upon that and we want to confess those sins and leave from the Lord's table with our hearts renewed, our lives rededicated, reaffirmed that we are followers of Christ, depending upon Him. So I want to lead us through that tonight, and I want to read a couple of verses in 1 John chapter, and you don't have to turn to these, but 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive our sins, all of our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then in 2 Corinthians, I would read from verse 13, or chapter 13, verse 5, and it says, test yourselves, and the old King James said, examine yourselves. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? And so we are to examine ourselves and to see whether there is the evidence of Christ living in our lives. And then in the passage that I will be reading from during the Lord's Supper, but verse 27 says, right after it goes through the Lord's Supper, it says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And the word unworthy there is describing the manner in which we would take it. It's an adverb, meaning that you are cavalier about it. You take it and it's just like a common meal. You don't see it as sacred. And one of the ways we could do that is approaching the Lord's Supper and coddling our sin and not taking that serious. So it's not an adjective describing us, anyone who's unworthy, because we're all unworthy. But it's an adverb of how we approach it. Do we take it serious? And so we are to confess our sins. And then verse 28, right after that, says, but a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, it is if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number are asleep. Literally, the judgment of God had fallen upon them. And can us as well, for taking it lightly. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. And in that 1 John passage, where it says, if we confess our sins, that is a word in the original that means if we say the same thing about our sins. So what confession is, it's not really asking for forgiveness. We're forgiven in Christ, and so we're saved. But what it's doing is bringing us into right relationship, that we are calling what God says is sin, we're agreeing it's sin. So Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? So God has called something sin, and that's in our life, and we're making excuses, you know, well, this is just the way my family's always been. Or, well, it's my personality. Well, if you had to work in the environment I work in. So we come up with all kinds of excuses. And when we do that, we're not walking in fellowship with God, because He says it's sin, and we're saying it's a personality or it's the pressures we can't resist and so forth. So when we're confessing, we are saying the same thing. If this is in my life and God says that's sin, when I say, God, I agree with you in your word. You said that sin, and it is sin, and I confess that to you. We have confessed it, and He's faithful and righteous to forgive us of all of those sins. So it doesn't hurt to say, Lord, forgive me in a relational sense, but in a salvational sense, we are forgiven. What I use in doing this, it came from Revive Our Hearts, I believe, and I've modified it some, and so I don't know if they would like my modifications, but I can't help but modify everything that I look at. But anyway, except the Word of God, you don't modify that. But because it needs to speak to us in the time in which we live. And so what I'm going to do during this time before we partake of the Lord's Supper is I'm going to read a scripture, and then I'm going to apply that scripture, and by asking questions. So I'll just read through them, but they're in the form of a question. And if any time any of us answers yes to that, then that's the time for you to pause and confess that is sin. God, that is in my life, and that is sin. And preparing our heart and life for the Lord's Supper. Okay, so you would just do it right then. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do you worry about anything? Have you failed to thank God for all things, the seemingly bad as well as the good? Do you neglect to give thanks at mealtime? Ephesians 3:20 says, and by the way, if you pause on one and you miss what we're doing on the next one, that's fine, because it's about not about keeping up, but the Lord being able to deal with each of us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Do you fail to attempt things for God because you're not talented enough? Do feelings of inferiority keep you from trying to serve God? When you do accomplish something for Christ, do you fail to give Him glory for that? Acts 1:8, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Have you failed to be a witness with your life for Christ? Have you felt it was enough to just live your Christianity and not witness with your mouth to the lost? in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the first part, "And I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think." Are you proud of your accomplishments, your talents, your family? Do you fail to see others better than yourself, more important than yourself in the body of Christ? Do you think that as a Christian you are doing quite well? Do you rebel at God wanting you to change? Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice." Do you complain and find fault and argue? Do you have a critical spirit? Do you carry a grudge against other Christians? Against other Christians of another group because they don't see eye to eye with you on all things? Do you speak unkindly about people when they are not present? Are you angry with yourself, with others, or with God? First Corinthians 6:19, which we read this morning, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" Are you careless with your physical body? Are you guilty of not caring for it as the temple of the Holy Spirit? In your eating habits? In your exercise habits? Do you defile your body with unholiness of any kind? Ephesians 4:29, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need for the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." Do you ever use filthy language? Do you tell slightly off-colored jokes? Or do you condone others doing that in your presence or even in your own home? Ephesians 4:27, "Do not give the devil an opportunity." Do you fail to see that you are a landing strip for Satan when you open your mind to him through unbiblical meditation? Any kind of meditation that you try to make your mind blank rather than meditating on the scripture. Songs that promote unholiness, looking to psychic predictions, occult literature, or sex-driven movies? Do you get advice for daily living from horoscopes rather than the Word of God in prayer? Do you let Satan use you to thwart the cause of Christ in your church through criticism, gossip, non-support, non-service, or non-giving? Romans chapter 12, verse 11 says, "Be not lagging behind in diligence." And the King James translates that, Be not slothful in business. Do you fail to pay your debts on time? Or maybe avoid paying them altogether. Do you charge more on your credit card and credit accounts than you can pay when it comes due? Do you neglect to keep honest income tax records or report your income honestly? Do you engage in any shady business deals or transactions? Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Are you irregular or spasmodic in your church attendance? Do you attend preaching services in body only, whispering, reading, playing with your phone, or planning on other things while God's word is being preached? Do you fail to come to worship with on your mind and heart to encourage others in the faith? Colossians 3:9, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Do you ever lie? Do you exaggerate? Do you fail to see little white lies as sin? Do you tell things the way you want them to be rather than the way they really are? In 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Are you guilty of a lustful eye toward the opposite sex? Do you fill your mind with sex-oriented TV programs, websites, movies, books, or magazines? Do you indulge in any lustful activity that God's word condemns, such as fornication, or adultery, or perversion? John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Are you guilty of being a part of factions or divisions in your church? Do you add fuel to misunderstandings more than you add truth to correct it and heal it? Have you loved only the ones in your own church, feeling those of other denominations are not of the body of Christ? Are you secretly pleased over the misfortunes of another or annoyed by their successes? Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you forgive. Have you acted to hurt someone in the body of Christ or a lost person? Have you failed to forgive anybody anything that they might have done that hurt you or done against you? Have you turned certain people away from Christ? Is there anyone that you are holding a grudge against? Ephesians 4:28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Do you steal from your employer by doing less work than is expected? By staying on the job less time than you are paid for? Do you pad your expense account? Do you do the minimum that is required when your employer expects your best? Do you take part of what you earn and put it aside to help others who have greater needs than you? Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Is your goal in life to make as much money as possible? To accumulate things? Have you withheld God's share of your income from Him and thereby confessing that money is your God rather than God being your God? In Matthew 23:28, so you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Do you know in your heart that you are a fake, just pretending to be a real Christian? Are you hiding behind church membership to cover a life that's still full of sin? Are you faking Christianity for social status, acceptance in your church or your community or by your family? Do you smile piously during the Sunday sermon, but live in your sin during the course of the week? Are you the person in your home that you are trying to impress people in public that you are? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, do you enjoy listening to gossip? Or listening to slander or insults of other people? Do you enjoy helping to pass those things on? Do you believe rumors are partial truths, especially about an enemy or someone that you don't like, or maybe a competitor? Are you inclined to believe the worst report rather than think the best until proven wrong? Do you fail to spend time every day reading the scripture, praying? Do you fail to think on the things of God, only the good and the true and the pure things? And I close with this, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything's worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And so prayerfully you've taken that and confessed things to the Lord, and our hearts are ready for the Lord's Supper. And what we're going to do, we are going to pass the plate and pass the trays, and in the trays there will be two options, both of which we've used. They're just mixed. And one of them is the cup that has the little cover that you can lift, and in that is the bread and the juice, both in one. The other are the cups that we're more familiar with, that we've used longer, where one would just have juice in it. and then we would pass a tray with the bread. But what's going to happen if you choose that one, you'll actually need to take two cups, and they're both together, and the one on top will have the juice, and underneath that will be the bread, okay? So I'm going to invite the ones that are going to help in the Lord's Supper, if you would come forward, please. So this is Paul being led by the Spirit, and he wrote, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread." Jason, would you lead us in prayer, please? And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And the word proclaim there is the word we get preach from. And so when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming the Lord and what he's done for us and those that will believe in him. And so we are preaching the gospel when we take the Lord's Supper until he comes. In Mark's gospel, it tells us and that after they had partaken of the Lord's Supper, they sang a song, a hymn. And so I'm going to ask Randy to lead us, and men, you can go and sit down.